So that's the value they'd be getting from us. And the final item in there, oh, Bill Baxter National Programming. This is kind of new. National Office had a programming budget. They used it. They actually reallocated some of it to non-programming things, actually to giving microgrants away. Then they notified the station that we would be paying $2,700 for national programming from the United States Social Forum that we hadn't known about in advance. It's great that Pacifica was covering the U.S. Social Forum. Had we known we would be paying for it, we might have proposed a way to do that more cheaply, because Pacifica sent something like 11 people total there, and 13, excuse me, and we're paying their share of hotels, flights, so on and so forth. So $2,700 plus whatever else they decide to bill us back for this year. Next year it could be more, depending on how ambitious their programming proposals are, if they keep with that procedure of billing us back directly for programming outside the levy. And in terms of us picking up the tab on the national election supervisor's salary, do you remember?
Salary? It was $940 a month.
$940 a month for 6 or 7 months?
Yeah, for about 7 months. That was national only, and then we had
right.
The local one. But so you're not asking local, you're asking national.
So the stations are also billed directly for the price of the national election supervisor's salary. For a reason that's not clear to me, we pay 31% of it.
So ask somebody.
Right. When actually it seemed like that person's headaches were mostly coming from WBAI in the past. I don't know. It was $900 a month. It's like $6,000 or $7,000.
Yeah, it's 7 months.
7 months.
What is the feeling of the board? We're pretty much at an hour. Would you like to extend?
Madam Chair?
Yes, Laverne.
I would like to extend the first question. How much time do you have, Lois, in terms of how much longer can you stay?
Well, I can stay a while longer. I probably should feed the meter, though.
Okay. Extend another, 30 minutes?
Yeah, it actually was not a formal order of the day, so I'm just kind of asking how people feel about this. Can we go another half hour?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, sorry if you hadn't asked anything yet.
No. Remember?
Richard Ben-Sarv. I'm sorry, I'm not keeping a stack, Richard. I should be. I've just been going in a loop.
I keep a stack, that's all right. I want to raise a couple issues about revenue that I think we need to deal with in terms of what I see as a serious problem. Now, I've been around this station since 1974, and I worked in commercial radio, 3 different stations. And in commercial radio, back then at least, if you didn't produce... you're gone. Unfortunately, I didn't have that problem, but I left on my own, come up here to live. The problem is what I'm seeing in terms of the revenue and the fundraising days. What brings in the revenue from the listeners is the feeling and spirit and quality of the station, what's going on the air. When you feel, I used to be a major donor, okay? I used to get invited to all those things. Some years ago, when I thought things were much more activist-oriented, much more, out there doing stuff. And I just want to point out a couple of statistics and then speak to that a little bit. Our number of subscribers has not changed significantly during the Bush regime. And to me, for a progressive station to not have doubled our listeners with the kind of things they're doing in Guantanamo and the kind of things that they're doing with taking away... I'm an attorney. Taking away habeas corpus, that's like cutting off your right arm. I mean, all of these things are going on around us, and we're stagnant. And what I found out recently is, a lot of the program evaluations that are supposed to be going on haven't gotten done. Some, I hear, because one particular mid-level manager hasn't done her work. But I don't want to get into the point is, We even had management come down a few months ago and tell people not to urge activism because we were going to get sued, which was absolutely wrong. But they didn't care, and they hung on to that. We have got to be the representative of the people and the people's movements. And if we're not going to do that, they're not going to support us. And if we do do that, I guarantee you, to the bottom of my heart, we will never be short of money. But we've got programs that are old and tired and haven't been evaluated. I mean, it's just like people own it because they've been there for a while. And whether it's doing any good or not doesn't matter. And that's, you know, that's retrograde. We have to be out leading. You know, and the man who was sitting right here next to me left. But, you know, he got chewed out for telling a bunch of young people about an anti-war demonstration to be there. Those are the two words he said that he got written up for. You know, we have got to get this stultification out of the station. And it's not, you know, we're not there. And I look, I've said from the very beginning on this board that I think people that work there should get paid well and taken care of. But we're not there to be a place for jobs. We're not there to be a place to have meetings. We are there to educate people what the corporations will not tell us and tell other people. That's our mission.
Excuse
politically, news-wise, and culturally.
Could we stick to budget
well,
items?
Well, I'm talking about that because...
Because okay, I don't hear anything that...
Fundraising... Well, everybody else talked about revenue things. I'm talking about why we don't have the revenue we should have.
Well, I understand that, but nothing's going to change now in that regard.
Well, I just want our LSB to be tuned into that. I want our listeners to think about that because, you know, we've got an election coming up, too, and those issues are going to be there. But we've got to make the station more proactive.
But maybe to take advantage of Lois's time, we want to have that discussion somewhere on the agenda.
I just sometimes think the big picture needs to be looked at, too.
Yeah. But
I agree with a lot of what you said.
Yeah. I would point out, Richard, I didn't know that statistic about our listenership not growing, but if, in fact, it's been stable since the Bush regime, I would point out that during that period we had our signal occluded in the Sacramento region and encroached on in several other areas. So that would indicate we actually increased our share of listenership in the places our signal is reaching. Maybe not significantly. We also went up with competition from the first allegedly progressive commercial talk network during that period.
And
so
your comment,
that wouldn't be half bad.
Your comment about the be there thing on the air. There's actually rules that exist about what you can say and what you can't say when we're holding events, and there's actually been lawsuits over that, which we
No, you're wrong. We reserved that. All three of the lawyers, myself, Dan Siegel, and the Pacifica lawyer all said no, there was no problem with that.
Madam Chair,
I don't want to rehash that again.
We actually paid out money in a lawsuit where we lost.
Not for that.
I believe so, but I don't want to debate that. I just want to go on with the budget.
Madam Chair. It was actually established afterwards that, in fact, that is true, what Lois was saying. However,
I have a point of order, please.
Yes, Mary.
I really would urge all of us to stick to budget matters. These might be very relevant, but they and as to any member's opinion as to why fundraising is or is not successful is nothing more or less than an opinion, and we are not discussing the programming, we are discussing budgetary things. I'd really like to use the time to get back to that. It has no reflection on the merit or demerits of what's being said. It just doesn't belong here.
Right.
Thank you.
If we could continue with the people that have not yet spoken. Sarv, did you want to speak?
Yes, thank you very much, Lois. My concern is regarding the capital improvements and that budget has gone down. And I see that we have a building that's empty next door to KPF radio station, and it's been empty now for over a year at least, if not two. And I'm very, very concerned that if that building is not taken care of, renovation or all the improvements that are needed in the building, that could be earning us rents or we could be using it for some other purpose. Why is that, that nothing is being done? Has somebody raised that question?
There actually is something being done. I don't know if I can speak to that right now, but I can speak to the vacancy issue and what is going to happen when something happens, and that would be that what we decided was not to include it in the budget because most likely the building's in need of a lot of work. It's not in the best condition, and so we would actually probably end up having to take a loan, an equity line against our building in order to improve that building. So it is not in here, and I don't know at what point we're going to be able to develop it or do that. But I know they're discussing what they want to do with that building.
Okay. The next question I have is that one of the functions of the local station board is, and usually most boards, is to help the radio station raise funds and helping them in some ways. Is there any offer that has been made by local station board or any entity that has been set up here to help raise the funds for either specific purposes or in general to help the station management in raising the funds?
To your knowledge. I know that's been a question before, too, about the board raising money for, a line item in the budget. There was talk about putting money in the budget for that. But every time we've done that, the funds don't come through. We'd be budgeting something that we're not getting. So I don't think that would be a good thing to do.
So to your knowledge, this board has not raised a cent.
I wouldn't say it's
well, there were
not
2 cents,
very
maybe. Okay. But there's no organized way that this board has approached fundraising to take care of contingency on the buildings, as well as the support that the radio station needs.
I couldn't answer that. Not okay. Being the development director, I don't know if they've ever been approached.
Right.
I don't think so. That I've heard
all right.
Of.
Thank you very much.
I think Sasha is the last person who hasn't weighed in yet. Welcome. Oh, Stan, too. Excuse me, Stan.
I have to scoot closer here. I have several questions, so I guess if I can do them one at a time. But I just want to make one very, very brief comment. I mean, it does alarm me that somehow or other on this board level, I thought we spent several months and had the input of the executive director, Greg Guma, and the network attorney, Dan Siegel, on the question of what was allowed to be said on the air in terms of encouraging people. And what alarms me about it is that what's left over with staff is that they can't do it, and we on the board have the impression that we were told that you can, and it's actually staff that's on the air. So there's a disconnect there, and I really think that maybe we need to revisit this because it would seem to me that we are supposed to be an activist station, and if the staff is in fact not encouraging people to be activists, we've got a problem.
Yeah, but I don't think that's true. I don't think that they're saying don't be activists. There's certain language you can't use on the air. You can't tell people to go there.
You can actually, was what we were told here at the board by the attorney.
So good discussion point,
I'm just
but
saying,
maybe.
I'm just,
yeah.
I just wanted to comment that there's a disconnect here that I think needs to be explored at some point. It's a very serious one because it actually touches on the very purpose of the station. It's not a minor point. And the staff are the ones that are on the air. So, if they're thinking that they can't say that and we're thinking that they can and are, we've got a problem. But, I just wanted to make that comment. This is obviously not the place to debate it. But I had some questions about the budget. So, Brian, as I understand it, you said that $2,000 a month was budgeted for Pacifica's rental of our office space. Is that, in fact, from the past, or is that what you're saying is the fair market value? Or I wasn't quite clear about that.
You mean, how did we arrive at the number of $2,000 per month?
Yeah, is that from the past that we bill them and they don't pay, or that we budget and they don't pay, or is that what's considered fair market value? Because it seems very low for fair market value.
Does it seem low to you? It's basically a stab in the dark.
Well, considering that I rent a two-bedroom apartment around the corner for almost that, that's a fraction of the space, yes. And it's not, and office space and apartments are a little bit of a different, but this is a much larger space on a
I was conservative. They thought I went too high, though, so I'm glad to hear it. Maybe I didn't.
I think it's, I mean, you could probably find out from, you know, agents what commercial space on MLK near university is worth, and it's by the square foot. I mean, they'll say it's X amount per square foot.
And I think the point here, Sasha, I'm sorry, I have to speak through Stan's shoulder, is that this is a little bit more of a maneuver than a real budget item. If the National Board does not step in and change policy, we won't get that money. So it would work. We're asking them to kind of make it policy by approving a budget with something in there, but it would be a really distorted budget if we pump that
I guess what I'm
up.
Saying is you might call two different commercial, you know, realtors and say,
yes.
What's the range? You know, this is going to be a range for great shape and terrible shape and, you know, and amenities.
So,
but
so
people are expecting a commercial space to come in and do their own improvements, by the way.
That's one of the motions I've set before the body that I'm hoping we'll take up after this budget. It establishes a procedure where the general manager and the CFO do a fair market value assessment, exactly that, checking local listings, talking to an agent. If they don't agree, it goes to the National Finance Committee and then the National Board to set a number somewhere.
And the other question had to do with the other space that you say, that Lois said, needed a lot of work done, and I'm wondering what kind of work, because actually, when you're renting commercial space, you're expected, I mean, you know, if there are termites and the roof is leaking, no, that's the
I think
owners.
it's got some kind of problem with wood rot.
With wood rot, yeah. That's the owners. But, you know, in terms of what's done on the inside,
and, yeah,
that's actually
water
the person
issues.
Who rents it.
It's not up to date on a lot of the electrical and stuff. There's a lot that needs to be done. Right now, there's no toilet, so.
And it was a restaurant. It's
it was.
Yeah, it's in bad shape.
Right. Well, structurally, it's our responsibility, and internally, though, in terms of, yes, I know it was a restaurant, you know, removing sinks or steps or whatever, you know, seating areas is up to the new renter to do on commercial property.
I don't think we're going to have a renter, though. Not that I've heard.
No, I've heard not also, but I think that might be
I thought it would make a good parking structure. We'd make a lot of money that way.
Well, actually, that's probably true. my other question had to do with what kind of micro grants is Pacifica giving out with money that's supposed to be for programming?
The proposal I saw was to reallocate $50,000 from the programming line in the national budget to hand out grants in amounts no greater than $5,000 each in the areas of technology, programming, and digital distribution.
To whom? I mean, what kind of...
It could be internal applicants, it could be affiliates, it could be outside people who thought they had a good idea for KPFA. The wording was quite vague.
Because, to actually do something, $5,000 isn't a whole lot of money to actually accomplish something. Oh, well, okay. And then you had said that the archives brought in $35,000 for 2 days of fundraising?
They were on all five Pacifica stations for 2 days, and they got $250,000 in pledges. I don't know how much they got. Yeah, we haven't checked the fulfillment, so... We don't know exactly how much came in. I have no breakout of how much of that came from zip codes within KPFA's signal area.
But I know
what a day of on-air fundraising is worth to us when we ask in KPFA's name for money to support KPFA. And the net, after 10% don't fulfill their pledges, after about 6% gets passed through to KFCF, after 20% goes to the national office, after 3% goes to credit card transaction fees, and after about 7% goes to premium costs and another 2% to shipping and mailing out reminder notices and so forth, on an average day of fundraising, the net would be about $35,000 surplus cash.
Okay, that's not archive-specific fundraising. That's just...
No, it's just kind of an assessment of what our air's worth.
So if every station, though, cut back the archive's funding by 1 day, they would be getting half the funding. And so my question is also, what is the funding exactly being used for?
Sorry, what's that?
Do you know what the funding is being used for by the archives?
Bonnie,
cutting your funding in half.
Bonnie, who chairs the archives task force, might be better positioned to weigh in on that than I. The archives, once upon a time, was funded directly through the levy, 3% of the... At the time, it was 17% that we paid to the Pacifica National Office.
But what is the money
used
to do?
What's that?
What do they need money for?
They have several decades worth of reel-to-reel archival tapes from Pacifica. Some of those tapes are very degraded and have to be restored. There's a fairly expensive process where you bake it to stabilize it before you play it back and digitize it. Others just need to be archived and organized and digitized so that they don't degrade in the future. They produce a weekly show now, which is not something that we ever approved a budget for. They use some other money to do it. That's a little bit weird. And also they sell program copies. They used to make a lot more money from this before Democracy Now! Went independent, because Democracy Now! Took the rights to sell CDs and DVDs of its own show. The Pacifica Archives used to do that for them. According to Democracy Now!'s 990 form, their tax filing, which is publicly available, they made $380,000 last year on CD and DVD sales. So that's been one place the archives has been coming up short.
So I would just comment that if you're talking about preserving tape, every month that passes, you lose something else if you're dealing with really old reel-to-reel or cassettes or what have you, tape. And it would seem like, you know, if we want to preserve those programs, that now's the time to do it.
There's no question in my mind about the value of the work that the archives does. And I'm not in a position to say whether or not they do that work efficiently. My concern is about their expenses bleeding over onto our books, and that if the expenses continue to bleed over onto their books, if they can say every time they're coming up short, oh, we'll just add another day to the National Fund Drive, then there really is no incentive for them to look to efficiency in their budget, or for the National Office, which used to fund them directly, to trim expenses in its. I think it's a basic financial structure issue, right? The people spending the money have to be accountable for the money they're spending. So right now, we're increasingly getting into a position where KPFA's budget, which we as an LSB and KPFA's management are held accountable for, is subject to all these costs, national costs, that are directly pushed onto it that are completely outside of our control, but that are elective, that are incurred at the national level. It's a very unsustainable structure. Structurally, it's exactly what you would expect to produce a growing and efficient bureaucracy, because there's no incentive, as long as that trend persists, for the National Office to be disciplined fiscally.
I have one last question. Can't Pacifica, I know we'd be competing against one another, but can't Pacifica do some fundraising on its own?
I'm sorry, can you speak up?
Can't Pacifica do some fundraising? I don't know. Is this microphone? Can't Pacifica do some fundraising on its own, or are we just in competition with
ourselves? They can, and they've done direct mail drops starting about a year and a half ago that have actually been quite lucrative for them. Unfortunately, they've always been hemorrhaging money because we get unrealistic budgets from BAI. It falls far short of its fund drive goals, and then the National Office doesn't get the 20% they were counting on. But the National Office can do independent fundraising. It's done some. I think they could do more. I think certainly there are arts grants that you could bring in to help out with that archives work.
And
the archives does some of their own fundraising. The question is, what is the structure for tapping the money that our listeners in good faith have given to support KPFA? Because that's what we tell them they're supporting on the air when we ask for their money. What is the structure for tapping that money to pay for appropriate national costs? And my contention would be that structure should be a single central services fee, not a variety of billbacks, chargebacks, imposed on-air fundraising, some of which slip below the radar and don't really register as KPFA's contribution to a national expense. And that if we're not having an honest conversation about what the total is that's going to the National Office, then there's not really going to be good controls on their spending. I mean, I wish there was money to give everyone a $90,000 a year compensation package in KPFA, including our very dedicated unpaid staff, or the vast majority of people who work at the station. But until there is, the stations in the National Office should be on similar footing when it comes to budget time. They should have to live within their means and have to make choices on that basis.
Yeah, I've been asked this several times over the years, and
I'm not a night owl listener. I rarely listen late in the evening or very early in the morning. But I've been, so my question is this. Are all programmers required to pitch in, all, bar none, required to pitch in during on-air fundraising drives? Anecdotally, people have said that on the real late-night programming, music programmers, they don't. If that is the case, why are they exempt? Because it seems to me that whether somebody has an audience of 100,000 or 200, they still have some base or they wouldn't be on the air. Are certain programmers exempt from fundraising on the air? And if so, what's the rationale for that?
Currently, KPFA fundraises from 6 a.m. until 12 a.m. And so shows that are on the air between 12 and 6 a.m. are not expected to fundraise. A couple programmers do on their own initiative. The issue is that to have the phone room open, you need one paid person there supervising. And you have diminishing returns as you get into the graveyard hours. In fact, the balance turns negative, it's assumed. So a couple programmers, while they're playing a song, will take their own pledges on the studio line. Kevin Vance has done that. He would raise $500 or $600 a morning. Oh, and they're encouraged to solicit online donations in the middle of the night. But it's just at some point your listenership drops so low that it's not effective to have the full fundraising room apparatus set up around the clock.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I don't see any other first-timers. Why don't we keep going in a circle with second-timers? Noelle.
I think it's really important that we have a fully staffed development department, and I think that really directly relates to the line items that we can either anticipate or just in general seeding more larger donations. So I've been deeply concerned that we haven't had a development director, and I think it's really important. It's sort of like something that the LSB and others should really encourage, that we not have a job share that involves the GM and the development director, that we actually have a full-time development director. It could only benefit the long-term financial goals of the station. So it's got to be a priority to make that higher. It just has to be. It's really important.
And we're budgeted on that basis. Mm-hmm. Have them both filled.
I know, but it's been a long time since we've had that person, and it's not so much are we going to budget it, but we've got to make it happen. It's fiscally prudent to make that happen. And whatever will that takes, it really does need to happen. I would like to see – I love the crafts fair. The crafts fair in our line item budgets breaks even, barely. It's a big ticket item. It happens over 1 week, and it used to happen over two. There's a potential for that event to actually be a – it is a public event that could have a dip in for whatever reason, like a broken pipe. And so I think that we need to look in the future to allocate some of the crafts fair expenses to advertising and understand that it's an event that could swing, really could, just like it could, you know, have a horrible thunderstorm on some – whatever. It's just – it's not guaranteed money for a lot of different reasons. So I think that needs to be looked at. I don't think there should be any sacred cows in the budget, and so I'm going to talk about this one, even though people aren't going to necessarily
Noelle,
like
before
it.
You do, on the crafts fair, just to be clear, last I looked, there was $20,000 in advertising. They take out ads in The Guardian and The Chronicle.
It's more that the crafts fair is a public event that is about us interacting with our community. I see us spending money on the crafts fair more as a way of interacting with our listeners in a really beautiful way. I don't necessarily – it's not a fundraiser. It's a very minimal fundraiser. And I value it. I don't think we should abandon it. I think we should keep it. But I think we should acknowledge that it's not exactly about fundraising, and that any public event has potential serious swings in its income for just merely a broken pipe under the corner of the gift center.
Yeah,
so
that's kind of a fundamental principle of nonprofit fundraising, is that events are very hard to make profitable, but what you build is relationships, and the relationships down the line.
I understand
line
that, but I don't see
donations.
Our budget reflecting the fact that we could actually have a negative in that. And I have thought over the last number of months, and as we've been looking at the different budgets, that the way the craft fair income and expenses have come into us, it was sort of like hiding the fact that it wasn't really a moneymaker. I'm not dinging the craft fair. I'm just saying that it's a big item. We really do need to look at it and know that it's – if we don't have event insurance, which we probably shouldn't. It'd be too expensive. We need to look at it. It's not guaranteed.
We do have event insurance, and it has made money every year since. It's been on my books at the office, which I think is 2001.
Yeah, I know that, but it's not a lot. It's like a very little.
No, it's not. It's not a lot in the overall.
It's not a lot. It could be $5,000, $10,000 for a $130,000 event. It's not a lot. So just to keep going, the next thing is, we have on our books a consultant for Robert Knight's position at Flashpoints, which Robert Knight must produce between 60 and 90 minutes a month of newscasts. He's an outside consultant. It should be a union position, I believe. And also, it's $1,200 a month is a lot of money for three to five minute shows a week. So I think that it should definitely be looked at. I think it should be a union position. I don't think that kind of work, which is programmatic work, should be contracted out. It's antithetical to good, sound union practices. I thought we missed an opportunity around direct mail. We have an election coming up, and we have a deadline of August 31st for people to be members. They have to be members within one calendar year. We really should have done a direct mail push to actually up our lapsed donors to get them eligible for the election, and it should have hit now, because I think that people would have wanted to participate. Another way they could participate in Pacifica and KPFA is to be a current member at $25 and above. We really should have, it would have been nice to have that level of integration with our elections process, our constituents process, and actually have that rolled out. Now, July is not a great time to drop direct mail, but I think this one would have done well or broken even. And then, finally, just to go on, as many of you know, I have an outstanding union grievance. And as a member of CWA 9415, I expect, and you could say whether it's 50 or 90%, I think it's 99.9%, to be reinstated in a three-quarter job position at KPFA in 2008. And I think you should put it in your budget, because I'm coming back.
Well, we budget for positions, not people. So there's procedures for bumping people out of positions when you go through layoffs if they have equivalent experience but less seniority. We budget for the staff roster the station needs, and then the people filling those positions is subject to change. What we're approving is a structure, not a job for a person.
Point of order, time. We're at that 30 minutes.
3 o'clock.
Well, there's no,
can I move to that we...
There's no order of the... There's no imposed time limit on this section. If folks are comfortable, we can put the budget to a vote. If the sense of the body is that we want to move forward, if people want to keep talking about it, we could take a break and come back to talk about it, whatever the will of the body is.
Sherry?
I move that we approve the budget.
I second that.
It has been moved and seconded that... we move to approve the budget. Is there a discussion, LaVarne?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have one more question, which I failed to ask, and that was on the HR consultant. I was trying to find it here, and I'd just like to know how much the cost of that HR consultant is this year. And I was looking at next year, and there's only... It's listed in terms of consultant, and I don't think it really includes that person.
No, it's taking the place of another position that's not filled right now, so we aren't spelling it out as far as the cost, because if the IGM were to become the permanent GM, we would drop that person. So
is that person listed as development director?
Basically, yeah, we're shifting money.
Okay.
Is there further discussion? Richard?
Yeah, what I just heard bothers me seriously. I mean, that should be specifically laid out in here. This is supposed to educate us as to how the money's going where so we can know it. It's called transparency, folks.
I'm being transparent.
But telling me is not putting it in here.
If we put it in there in the consulting line, though, we'd overstate the budget because we don't have a development director this time. I don't want to overstate the expenses that much.
I'm not talking about overstating expenses. I'm talking about having an appropriate explanation of allocation. And we have some invisible person who's getting paid through some fund, and it's not in here.
Hold on. I'm looking at our actuals, Lois.
There is an HR line. Yeah.
I'm looking at our consultants line.
No, it's here.
It says 62,000 this year, which is 30,000 above budget. I had assumed that the HR consultant was appearing on that line.
It is in the consultant. There is an HR consultant in there in that line item,
okay.
But it's not that specific person. I don't.
Right, but I mean, Robert Knight's name is mentioned as a consultant. Why isn't this person's name mentioned in this budget?
I don't even know that we mentioned Robert Knight's name.
It's right in there.
You know, there might
it.
Be a note that Marnie put in on the headcount chart, like something like Flashpoints doesn't include
else,
Robert
maybe.
Knight.
I'm looking here.
Okay. That would
there, on the
be appropriate
sheet.
To pull.
At the bottom
it's
of the salary sheet
an artifact.
Is the consultant.
Yeah.
So detailed consultant. Yes, it actually does say his name. Page 28. And then we have HR consulting, but it's actually more than that. That's when what we're paying out is more than this. But if I were to increase this line the way we have the salaries budgeted now, because we don't want to take out those two positions, this would overstate the budget a lot. So I didn't want to show it that way. Yes, we could have put a note. I did not think to put a note. And nobody's hiding anything or I wouldn't be talking about it.
Well, if I hadn't asked the question, nobody would have known about it from reading this.
Well, that's why she's here.
I think we mentioned it.
Here.
So the point is, what I'm saying is the written budget needs to delineate those things. If there's a person getting paid out of some particular allocation, like you say, the development budget, then
right,
it should,
we could have put a note in here. We should.
There
have
should
put
be
a note
saying,
"Yeah, we should
so
have
and so consultant
there.
Is yeah. being paid $2,000 a month out of this or whatever they're being paid." Just so, I mean,
yeah, that's fine. I agree with that.
Nothing against you, Lois, but when I hear that, it makes me wonder. No, it's not that. It just makes me wonder if there are other things there. If I don't ask about them, I'm not going to find out about them.
Yeah, so we have.
I'm sorry.
Making a shift from a position that.
So.
Yeah. She needed the help.
So just to clarify where we're at, Sherry made a motion to adopt the budget. So from here on out, it would be pro-con debate on that motion.
Henry Antico.
I'm in favor of adopting such a.
Mike, please, Henry.
Thank you. Yes, I'm in favor of adopting the budget, and I want to commend Lois in particular for the and Brian and whoever else was involved for the work in laying out this much detail. I also want to just highlight something that I think is missing that I hope will be there next year. This is something that's come out from the National Tech Committee, which is that nowhere in Pacifica, apparently, does IT, information technology, budgeted as a separate item. It's distributed among the administrative costs and so on, except there's an item for $300 of computer supplies I saw somewhere here. I think this is the national staff is very unhappy about it. It makes it hard for them to plan, the national tech staff, that is, hard to plan, hard to be accountable for their goals and so on. I hope starting next year that KPFA and, you know, I would hope the rest of the network too, but certainly KPFA should change that, make it a separate, you know, I don't know what administrative, separate department or anyway, separate lines on here. And the reason is not only for transparency from a financial perspective, but because as we talked about with radio listenership declining, you know, it's quite possible, I would say likely, that in some, you know, 10, 15, maybe 20 years, whatever, where our online listeners are going to outnumber our over-the-air listeners, or they'll all be over-the-air, but over-the-air via the Internet instead of by traditional radio broadcasting, and we really need to get a handle on this as a strategic direction for the network and not just as a, you know, kind of incidental, you know, kind of like sweeping the floors kind of function. I am very appreciative of the budget here, and I will vote for it, but I hope that next year we will have that broken out.
We do actually have an IT person, by the way, who does the computer, too, and he is in the salary sheet in operations.
I know that,
I know
but
if you're aware of that.
There's a whole complex of expenses right. that ought to be looked at separately.
I think your question speaks to whether we should have breakout departmental budgets. I mean, not just for IT, but for other things, so there's an easier division of expense.
Oh boy, that complicated.
No, I know it's complicated, but I've seen that done at other nonprofits.
Yeah, no,
what are the obstacles to having
that? I've done it at other nonprofits. Yeah. The obstacles to having it is the chart of accounts in the general ledger and the structure that it was set up under, and someone would have to completely revamp the chart of accounts, not only the actual line items, but the actual numbers and the way the numbers are used right now. I actually had to do this in Great Plains where I worked before, and you can restructure the numbering system, but right now they're using the first three numbers to designate KPFA or Pacifica, and you would have to use that for something else if you were going to use departmental accounting.
So that's something that would have to happen on a network-wide level because they use centralized accounting software on one server. It's a complaint I have too. I think it would make the budgets much better if we had this.
Or they could maybe buy an overlay program to Great Plains that would do it for them also. I know they talked about it. I don't know why it didn't happen.
So I'll keep pushing forward on the National Finance Committee.
I have Tico, Kahn, and Laverne.
I think we should pass the budget. In fact, don't we have to? Anyway, I'm going to go very quickly. Thank you for your hard work, Lois and Brian. And I think if we could all comment on things that we can improve, or you know, like, because I think just get it over with and get onto these motions.
Con?
Well, I'd like to make what I hope is a friendly amendment. Which is that I would like to include in the passing of the budget the motions A, B, C, D, E, and F. If we could include those in passing the budget, because to me those things directly have an impact on the station and on money for the station. So I'm going to make that as amendment, see if somebody seconds it and whether
second
or not.
It. I second it. Mary Berg seconds it.
We have an amendment that has been seconded to include in approval of the budget the items that were numeral 9, Roman numeral 2, small a through f. and it has been seconded. Yes, Brian.
As much as I would love them to pass right away with all speed, I think it's kind of procedurally inappropriate to bundle motions like that. Each motion needs to speak to a discrete issue under Roberts. And I don't want to poison the budget by putting anything in there that hasn't been discussed that people might not feel comfortable voting on. And don't want to ask people to vote for motions en masse. So with due respect for the intent of your amendment, which I think is admirable, I would ask people to vote against this amendment. Yeah.
Laverne?
I love the way you say my name. Should I speak to Cons? I support what Brian said, because basically, and the issue with one of those motions is calling that office rent, and we've discussed this, and that if we don't call it rent and call it an allocation of the expenses that the national office, that the KPFA is paying for the national office, it will be much easier to pass at the national level. And because, again, KPFK is actually, I believe they're doing a reduction in their allocation, in their central services for the space that they have, that the archives enjoys there at KPFK.
I will withdraw the amendment. Clearly there's most of the sentiment is against it at this point. We should focus on getting the budget passed.
Okay.
Mary? Oh, I'm sorry, we didn't?
I just want to, again, so I want that to be as an amendment to the budget to call that allocation versus rent.
Is it not true that we can either approve or not approve the budget, but it actually has to be changed by staff?
No, I definitely support
approving
it.
We can change the wording.
Yeah, that's the minor thing. I definitely support approving the budget. It's just that, again, in order to make this, to make sure it, that we defang and any arguments from the CFO, that we will put that in and put that in and pass that as part of the budget.
So can I suggest that we just handle that as a presentation issue, not a substantive issue with the budget? Because I agree procedurally that we can't amend the budget. It would have to go back to staff and then come back to the board.
We can just do that now. I mean, why would we need to put something off till tomorrow? What we can do now.
Well, it sounds like Lois is down, so why don't you just agree on what it is?
Yeah, just we'll follow up next week, and then I'll get the exact wording for it.
Okay. All right, we are still on the motion to approve the budget. And I don't know if everybody heard Khan wanted to remove his amendment.
Is there a way of voting? I think we've discussed these items A through F quite a bit. They've come out in comments extensively that have been made here. I would like to, if they don't get included and we don't vote on them, then they just can't be dealt with till next year. Is there a way of having a vote on them individually together with the vote for the budget itself?
Yeah.
No, Mary, I mean, not as some separate item, which obviously
Mary,
may never happen.
Once
is there some way of including it
Mary.
As a package?
We have a motion. It's been moved and seconded. It's on the table, and her discussion has nothing to do with it.
I beg your pardon. The member is not aware that I have asked a question and would have a right to have an answer.
That was more like a question, Mary, and I'd like to get on with this.
I have information that's responsible.
All right, Brian, why don't you go ahead and give it to...
After we vote on the budget, we will still be in the treasurer's report. Those things would be in order.
Phoebe.
Call the question.
The question has been called. The motion is to approve the budget. Is there objection to closing debate? Seeing no objection. Is there objection to approving the budget? Seeing none, we have passed the KPFA budget.
It is really good. It helps me a lot.
Yeah.
And thanks, Brian, too. He's been very helpful. He does a lot of hard work, too.
If I might, just a couple of...
Navarne has helped, and Chandra's helped. Lots of questions. Oh, and I can't think of it. Anthony, you asked that you caught something. Everyone who looks at this can point out something, I'm sure, because it's so extensive, and there's a lot of work in this, and a lot of formulas and stuff. So.
And thank you so much for being here, Lois.
Thanks,
we really appreciate it.
Very much.
All right, I know that we all need a break. There are two gentlemen here that I believe wanted to do public comment. I leave it to the will of the board. They did come in too late, and we had already done public comment. Any feelings about it?
Given that we don't come to San Francisco very often, I would extend them the courtesy.
Let's go ahead and do that, and then... take a 25-minute break and be back here at, let's have the two gentlemen do their public comment, then we'll see where we're at. But that's kind of where we're heading.
No, first of all, thank you very kindly. I appreciate it very much. My name is Jack Williams, and I grew up in Berkeley, attended Berkeley High School and Columbus, and graduated from the University of California at Berkeley with honors. And I just want to discuss here, I appeared on the Emmett Powell show with the gentleman who helped us raise funds from Kuwait. I want to talk to you about money. Kuwait is one of the richest, wealthiest countries in the world. And they've established, at my request, the 20-acre facility in the mountains here. and we're welcome. I'm responsible for ongoing programs and upcoming events. So at some point, we'd like to welcome you to you know, any of you or all of you to come up and use our site. We're on one of the wealthiest properties in the county. And I was a former general manager, like city manager. And we could do craft fairs or other things like that, or appeal directly to Kuwait for funds. They've established a facility, but quite frankly, I need to do some kinds of programs. Also, I'd be very happy to talk to you about it. The other thing is that when I appeared on the Emmett Powell show, discussed a letter that I submitted to the mayor of Berkeley about fundraising. And the fundraising that we talked about was to have, like, run-walk events. Sometimes these events make, it would make in Berkeley over $330,000. So just briefly, I've prepared this information that I sent to the mayor. I don't know if some of you want to look at it or talk to me about it a little bit more. I got 4 or 5 copies here. And I wear an Olympic gold medal watch. I beat Olympic champion Bobby Morrow and lost to the world record holder by less than an inch. My records are still on the board today in Berkeley. You look at the honor record board. Jack Williams and my brothers, Jerry, who beat Tommy Smith, Johnny Carlos, and people like that. This radio station is very important. So what you need to do is plan something that's going to stand like a rock for the future, for your funding. Whether you like me or not, or disagree with me or not, you need something to stand like a rock. So I'm welcoming you to let's get together and talk about some specifics on some money. We can get you the money, but you've got to have common sense to get it. So that's all I'm saying. Please. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there another gentleman that wanted to speak?
Because of my friend here, but I do have some concerns here with respect to the diversity of this station and the participation of all San Franciscans. I'm a San Franciscan. I've been here since 1964, and I understand that there's a lot of things that's going on in our city. There's a lot of gentrification going on in our city. There's a lot of racism going on in our city, particularly with the radio stations, particularly with, and I don't see too much action here on KPFA with diversity. I don't see, that's an issue going on right now in Bayview Hunters Point. Now, dealing with the shipyard, dealing with gentrification out there, dealing with the health issues, the dealing with environmental issues. I would like to see this station be a little bit more diversified and inclusion into its programs. I think it would be very important to you, and I would like to know if you are a federal agency receiving federal grants. This is a private station. But you are a 501c3?
Yes.
Okay, but you do then have an opportunity to receive donations from the general public and write them off. Well, I would hope that you would be a little bit more diversified. And whoever is your program station programmer, I would like, as a committee with some of the representatives from the organization that I'm familiar, like the Green Party, I'm familiar with them, I'm associated with them, and I would like to meet with your program director to see if there's possibly some things we can talk about inclusion, not just a portion of San Francisco, but all San Francisco.
Thank you. All right. Well, I have about 23 after. So let's be back here at 10:02. Yes, Sherry?
Just wondering if we could vote on the remaining Roman numeral 9, whatever it was, before we go on a break. Whatever it was.
All right. What is the will of the board on this? Lunch. Sorry. I'm going to drop.
Can I?
Yes, Lois.
I just wanted to remind everyone that's got a copy of the budget about the confidential information in the budget. It's not to be shared outside this room, please. If you discard of it, please try to shred it or bring it back. Outside of the board. Right.